But anointing this morning to bring your word out of 2 Corinthians, that you would be a blessing to us, that you would anoint his mouth to speak, his mind to think what your heart is, and open our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to the gathering place this morning through this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, the heart is pounding there. It's all good. Before we get started, I was wondering when we were going to do this. I think I'm going to do it before we get started right into the message. But Corinthians chapter 8 is about giving. And the heart of giving and the actual biblical truth about giving. And sad to say, but in churches and different Christian organizations, that is not on target on God's heart about giving. It's more about manipulation and trying to make people think that you give, you'll get rich. And I don't need to go into, I was going to share some examples of that. I don't have to. You probably already have examples of it. And it's really sad that this whole thing gets distorted. And we're going to look at God's heart about giving. And part of that, before I really get into that, part of the heart about giving is what we're going to learn is about your whole motivation for life is about how greatly you're loved by God. And how out of that great sense of his love for you, you love other people, and Paul will get into it. And part of that relationship is giving. But Nancy and I were very busy 2 weeks in the desert. And one thing about the desert is it was beautifully sunny every day. And this time of year, we were hitting like 85. A couple of days, it got to 90. But it was an amazing thing. And one of the other things I learned was that we went to go rent our car, and I asked for a specific car, and they said, we'd like to give you a different kind of car and for less money. And I said, well, what's that? We want to give you an electric car. And it was kind of a interesting thing. And when we finally got to the Marriott, all the electricity was complimentary. So there's no fuel costs at all. But for all of you guys who think about electric cars, they're fun, they're fast, they're amazing, they save the environment, but they rob your pocketbook because they cost more to operate than a gas car. But so if you want a fast, hot, fast car, then go buy your electric car, but remember your wallet. It's not about you saving money, it's about maybe saving the environment, but everything else. But it was fun that we didn't have to pay for electricity. All we had to do was plug it in the Marriott thing, and every other day, and it was good. So that's enough about that. So we are busy. We are, you never take a vacation from the Lord. You're part of his kingdom and his representation to the world. So the first one, I just picked three of them that were very significant to Nancy and I. The first one is a server called Valerie. And just looking at this, it's amazing. All three of these things were Hispanic people that we met. On our way to see Valerie, we were on the way to go to a different restaurant. And she's going to her GPS, turn here, turn here, turn here, do this, this over here. And we're headed out to this restaurant. And finally, we made a turn and wound up totally in the middle of a No King March. stopped a car, people all around us in costumes and yelling and dancing and screaming and they're looking at us, and I'm saying, Nancy, we're just trying to eat. Where have you sent me, man? And we didn't feel threatened at all, but they were yelling and talking and dancing, and I said, in the meantime, they were blocking us. I said, I just need to get out of here without running somebody over. So you had to be very careful with the electric car that you didn't push the pedal too much. Down goes a few people. But so anyhow, we got out of there, and then we said, let's find someplace else to eat. You know what? The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So we went to a different restaurant. We didn't plan on going there. And here's what happened. We had breakfast, and we started sharing Jesus with the server. And that lady kept coming back to our table over and over again, spending 10, 15 minutes with us, because she was just like a sponge, wanted to be filled. And the other thing is, you know what? It's both Nancy and I. She gets words, I get words, and we're both. And this woman was just so, she was just so hungry to hear hope. But at the end of our conversation, at our end of our time with her, she really approached me and said, will you please pray for me? And I said, Valerie, what's going on? She said, my life is my daughter, and she's schizophrenic. And it's such a hard thing for me to deal with. And she just has this mental disorder, and it stresses me out. Would you pray that God would heal my daughter? So if we stopped and we prayed for her daughter, that God would restore her mind, that she could think properly. Then we went to another restaurant a few days later, and the server, Jose. And we started to share Jesus with him, and he just opened his life to us. And he says, let me tell you how I came to where I am today. I was driving a Harley motorcycle, and I had no helmet. And I lost control. I hit a pole. I flew off the bike and hit the pole with my head. And they rushed me to the hospital. My mother found out about it. She came to the hospital, and they had to do tons of surgery. His whole head was just all busted up. And they told the mother that Jose probably won't live. We're going to do our best. But she went to the chapel in the hospital, got on her knees, and said, God, please spare my son, Jose. And he said, after a long time in the hospital, I came out of that completely recovered. And beyond the doctors saying, I'm talking about his whole head was crushed. And he survived. And then he said, you know, guys, and he kept coming back too for more. He's let's talk some more. And he says, then at the end of our time eating there, he said, well, here's where I am today. I have a wife. I have two children. And not long ago, it was months earlier, not long ago, we lost our third child at birth. And my wife is so struggling with this loss. And she said, and I am too. And he said, we just can't figure out this perfect baby. There was a complication and died at birth. And he said, I just hope God can heal us and heal this. Because it's the kind of thing we're asking, why God would our child that was 9 months pregnant die? And we're trying to figure that out. Nancy then had a prophetic word for his wife. And we prayed with him that God would heal this hurt in their life. Wow. First, a mother struggling with a schizophrenic daughter. Secondly, a couple suffering with a great loss in their life. And Jesus is the answer. Jesus is that answer. Thirdly, we look for a church to go on Sunday. And the church we normally went to in that area, we looked it up on Sunday to go and found out they switched their service to Saturday. And then I said to myself, you know what, it was just undefined. You just say, I don't know, I think there's something not right going on at that church. But I said, we're okay. We'll just celebrate Jesus ourselves today and look for a church to go to the following Sunday. So Nancy starts researching churches close by, and she finds one profile. He says, we'll think we'll go there. We'll think we'll go there Sunday. And in the profile, it says the pastor of the church graduated from a Global Awakening where Jonathan Seaver was. So Nancy calls Jonathan Seaver and says, do you happen to know this guy, John? He was one of my students that I was teaching in the class. And I connect with him once in a while. So we went to the church, and then after the service, I went to Pastor John, and I said, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Jonathan Seaver's pastor. He said, Jonathan Seaver, my teacher. How's he doing? I know he's bedridden and all that. And so we had a little conversation together, prayed a little with him because he had to leave real quickly because they were having baptisms that Sunday. And then they had a, we have the open mic. They had a little different than what we do. They didn't have an open mic, but every Sunday, as they come to Sunday, people with words of knowledge and prophetic words and healing ministries would write it down on a piece of paper what they heard, and then they would hand it to one of the leaders, and at the end of the service, the leader would read these words of knowledge, these prophetic words, and people that they felt that this was the issue they were needed for healing. And then they had a team up there to be ministered to. So Nancy and I, Nancy with the heel that's being healed, we went up to talk to them, and the person we wound up with was Loopy. What's the lady's name? Do you remember?
Jane.
Loopy and Jane. And they weren't a couple. They were just there where we were there. And they started ministering to us and everything else. And so in that, they prayed for Nancy. And Loopy looked at me and said, "I have a word for you. You probably already know it, but God wants to affirm it in you, that God is using you to love people." And I said, "Wow, that was really pretty accurate." And I said, "I got a word for you, Loopy. I got a word for you too. God showed one word, only one word I got. And hopefully you'll define what that is for you. Strong." And he almost got tears in his eyes. And he says, "That's amazing you should say that, because lately I've been just feeling so weak." And he had tears in his eyes. He says, and that it might be only one word, but man, guy, that's really affecting me right now. So yesterday I went upstairs and I laid down for an hour, and a lot of times I take these naps and God starts showing me pictures and all kinds of stuff. And while I was laying there, I saw me and the Lord by a tree. And he said to me, "Go pick the fruit off that tree." So I picked it up. And he said, "Now cut it in pieces." So I cut it in pieces. And I only saw I only could focus on the first slice. And the first slice had love written on it. Just what Lupe was saying. So then when I was waking up from it, I heard the Lord say, "You go downstairs and have Nancy look up what Lupe means, the meaning of Lupe." And so I went down there and I said, "Nancy, I had this dream and all this, and the slice said love and all that, just sort of what Lupe said. And look up the meaning of his name." And his name means strong and courageous. Just the word I had for him. So that strong and courageous gift was telling me God sees my love for people and just continue it. Those are three encounters that Nancy and I had while in California. And there's others, but these are the three that God highlighted for me to share with you. There's hope for the hopeless. The woman with a schizophrenic daughter. There's hope for the ones that had great loss in their house. And there's hope. And there's encouragement in the words of knowledge and prophetic. And God wants all of us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, both. Glad I got extra time this morning to share that. But now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "For now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of our God given the Macedonian church. In the midst of the very severe trial, their overflowing joy, extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity." It's somewhere, sometimes when we think things are just hopeless, God provides. God provides. And it's through the grace of God has given the Macedonian church. And, it's very important to know the depth of grace. It's unmerited, unearned favor. It's not something we do to get. It's something God freely gives. And I testify that they gave as much as they were able. I have to stop there, because that's the truth of God's heart, not trying to manipulate and trying to, you know. I wasn't going to mention. There was one place I went to, and the ministry was good until this guy gets up here, and it said, "This is so wrong. This is so wrong." And here's the truth. God's heart says, gave as much as they were able. All right? One person I met, I wasn't going to go into it, but I have my example too. One person I had said, I need your support. I need your support. And I said, well, right now I can't give it. He said, then why don't you just go borrow the money and give it to me? That's not God's heart. And the other one was a guy got up there and says, there are people here that can give $10,000. And I want you to come up here and give your $10,000. And 30 days from now, God will give you double back. That's the abuse that's going on in the body of Christ. That will never be here. It will never be here. It says, as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, not pushed into it, not give to get, and all this stuff. And we're going to get more into it. And they generously pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. And it's the reason I started with the testimony of me, Nancy, and I meeting, it's out of the abundance of God in our heart, we'll stop and spend time with strangers and find out more about their life, whether it's a child with schizophrenia, or it's a loss of a child, or whatever it is, that when people understand that you love them and care about them, they'll open up and say, would you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you help me? And he says, it's very interesting. Rather than manipulation, it's the privilege of sharing. It's not out of demand. It's out of a heart, that giving from the heart. That's why the scripture talks about a cheerful giver, the giver from the heart, not out of demand. And they exceeded our expectations and gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the will of God for us. Get it? Giving or any ministry that can come out of us is first of all to the Lord. To the Lord, to God that's blessed you and helped you and been by your side, been you through the good times and the bad times and the rough times and the hard times, and just knowing that God and knowing He's with you. It's all about they gave themselves first to the Lord and secondly to the will of God also to us. Then he goes on, and so I urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning and bringing also to completion this act of grace on your part. It's a life of giving, a life of service, a life of helping people and being caring about people. The root of that life is, I should have turned my page too quick, is what? It's completion, this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, here's a model of our lives. And here's a goal for all of us that we desire to excel in or to be very committed to. Something I've been praying for all of you for years, in faith. That's first on the list. He's saying, I see that you're excelling in everything in faith. You're unmovable. The circumstances of life won't trip you up because you're a man or a woman of faith. Unmoving faith in a God that loves you. In speech, what do we allow to come out of our mouth? There's a little connection with faith here. When things happen in our life, does our speech go to, why me? This should not be happening. Or should it go, your speech say, I thank the Lord in every circumstance. And I'm committed to trust you, God, over what I see. Now, last time I was here, we had that verse that we walk by faith, not by sight. Since I left that, I was meditating on that. You know what? Not by sight. To me, sometimes I'll go to sight and go to all the negative things that are happening in my life. But God wants us to have walk in faith, not by sight, not only in the difficulties, but he reminded me, he said, also, I want you to guard yourself from self-sufficiency, a place you don't need God anymore. I got it. Both are sight. Both are very important that we put it under God's throne of grace. In knowledge, there's no greater knowledge than the knowledge of the Almighty and who He is. In complete earnestness, be real about your faith. Be real about who you are. The difficulties and the good times are very real. And be earnest about who you are in Christ Jesus. In the love we have kindled in you, know that you're loved. Know that God's love is something that you can never be separated from. It's higher than any higher, deeper than any depth, wider than any width. His love for us, I have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. You know what? Giving is not only monetary, it's just our life just models giving. It could be anything, or it could be just saying the right thing to somebody. It could be you might be driving along and see somebody struggling changing their tire, and you pull off the side and you help them. You know, he's saying that I also want you to excel in the grace of giving. The grace of giving is just doing it because you're so greatly loved and ministering to other people. It's not about getting an award or getting a compliment or getting, you know, people saying nice things about you. It's about doing it because you have a God that loves you so deeply. Then he goes on to say, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with earnestness of others, that you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom he was rich, for the sake he became poor, and that you through his poverty might become rich. What's rich? He left his throne of glory, came down and been a little baby, cared by his mother, growing up and finally revealing who he was, the Son of the Living God. And he took criticism, he took people trying to kill him, and they finally did. And he went through all this. Those poor things are like God then walking through life like we have to walk through life. That in that, you know, it's amazing. I just thought about that. Even in his trial, when the great judges of Rome and governors, and he could safely say, you have no power over me. But he didn't implement the power that he had because he loves us so much. He loves us so much that we become rich. Rich, yes. I'm richly blessed to be married to Nancy, and we've had 46 years of amazing. What? 40. Did I get it right? Yeah, 46. 46 years of amazing. You know, and you know what? That's rich. That's rich. That's you know, it's just being safe, being loved, being cared for, knowing this wonderful God that we serve. That's rich covers, I believe in this verse, rich is way more than finances. It's a richness of knowing God himself. Knowing him intimately. And knowing that in the difficult times we have a go-to place. This church this morning was a real go-to place for Nancy and I because we're going through some issues, and just to have men and women pray for us was amazing. It was amazing. It was very freeing. Then he says, and here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. You notice that it doesn't say that the past year you were the first not only to give, but have been manipulated to give. Giving comes from the heart. And he says, God has given you the desire to give. You know, I all these years of tithing and living, I never thought a second about this being some kind of burden to give. It was a free expression of what God was doing in our lives, and knowing that he cares for us. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched with your completion of it, according to your, again, here's according to your means. This is God's heart. It's not somebody coming to me and saying, well, Byron, I need this for my ministry. And you're saying you can't give. Why don't you just go out and borrow the money and give it to me? That goes against it. This is according to your means. God's not asking you to do something beyond what you can do. But he's also asking you to do it freely from your heart. Not by manipulation or some false promise that you're going to get rich. According to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Wow. See, you know, that goes counterculture to some of what we're seeing in the church. It's sad. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, our plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, but the one who gathered little did not have too little. And what Paul is saying here, there is a church in need, and another church came to the rescue. And he's saying, but in the same time, the church that got rescued, someday they're going to find out that they have a time that they can rescue somebody else. And that's what he's talking about, equality. And then he goes on, thanks be to God who put into the hearts of Titus and same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he was coming to you in much enthusiasm as his own and on his own initiative. You know, it's when you meet people that are so in love with Jesus, so involved with Jesus in their life, so knowledgeable of his love for them. Titus did not go to them worrying about what they're going to think about him to gather some of the fruit of their life. It says he went there with enthusiasm because he knew their heart. He didn't have to beg. He didn't have to manipulate. He just had to come there and receive what they had to give. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the church for his service to the gospel. Again, I was going to pause there. These are men sold out to Jesus. They're sold out to Jesus, and they're sold out to presenting the gospel out to others. What is more, he was chosen by the church to accompany us as we carry our offerings, which we administered in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our great eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism in the way we administer the liberal gifts. It's very interesting, these unnamed people in Scripture. It says Titus and somebody else. And you know what? And when these are unnamed people, it reminds us to just remember who we're serving, and we're not out to get recognition. And then they were trying to, with the two of them, and they were collecting this, they're trying to avoid any criticism. I don't know why I'm going there with this one, it came to me, and there's really demonic forces working. I'm gonna just say it. I was at work one day, and somebody from the shop floor came into my office, and he said, this guy came from a temporary service, and he says, he's really acting crazy, Byron. We need to get him out of here before something bad happens. So I said, well, go get him and bring him in my office, and I'll call the agency and send him home. So he came to my office, and there are demonic forces. This guy looked at me, and he said, the love of money is evil. And I said, you got it wrong, sir. It's nothing evil about
money. You said money is evil.
Money is evil. And I said, you got it wrong, sir. The love of money is evil. It sends you down the wrong path. And then he got really angry with me. And I have a Bible by my desk. And I said, here's the truth, sir. Here's the truth. Here's our God. And he grabbed the Bible out of my hand and threw it across the room. And I'm sitting there saying, oh Lord, man, this is I'm facing demonic forces. And then I said, they're going to be here soon to pick you up, sir. You need to just go out over here and wait for your people to pick you up. Then he wrote on a piece of paper and he handed it to me. And to this day, I'm glad it's pretty much out of my memory. I'm glad to this day I've totally forgotten what was written on it, but it was vile. It was so, I never read something so vile. And he left. I don't know why I told you that story, but it's when we don't do something, make sure what we're doing for kingdom work and for God is free from criticism. And if we get criticized, it's not from our love for each other. It might come from the outside of somebody that has no knowledge of who God is. And a lot of times in the area of criticism, there's a big connection with money and criticism. And use what God gives us wisely. That's all. And then goes on to say, for we are taking pains to do what's right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And this is where it gets, when when we do church and we come together as a body of Christ, we want it to be pure, holy, and good. And we want it to be not only pleasing God, who we want to do, but also that men will see it and see the integrity in what we do, right? That not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of what people see and what they hear. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proven to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. That's talking about an unnamed person. We don't do things for the praise of men, but for the glory of God. Don't we? Then, as for Titus, now he's mentioned, he is my partner and co-worker amongst you. As for our brother, they are representatives of the church and an honor to Christ. And you know, it's Nancy. Oh, she's out of the room, so I can say, not I can say anything about her. But you know what? Nancy is my co-worker in Christ. And I view her that way. And I tell you, it was in the past, I told you about when we were much younger and our kids were little, I was this guy going out and stopping people, prophesying, talking, and all that. And Nancy was trying to convince our kids that Pop wasn't so crazy. But now that we're older, she is an intricate part of me. Because now, at this season of our life, when we meet these servers and these people that are strangers to us and just open up their whole life to us, not only is it me sharing the love of God with them, equally so Nancy does. Nancy does also. And Nancy has prophetic words. Nancy had words of encouragement. Nancy has a prayer prophesied over a woman she never met, that Jose's wife that lost the baby, and brought tears to this man that stood before us. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for your pride in our pride in them, so that the church can see it. Therefore, show these men proof of your love. You know why it's such a blessing to be a pastor in this church? It's you guys. It's you guys. Nancy and I can come here and know that we're loved. And not only it's like a bonus to knowing that how much God loves us, and then for our brothers and sisters to love us, and that's just a beautiful thing. That's just a beautiful thing. And therefore, show these men the proof of your love. It's just actually live it out and do it. And do it for the reason for our pride in you, so that the church can see it. That goes back to how did Jesus said we'd be defined? Remember? He stopped there and said, hey, you know how they'll know you're part of me? He only said one thing: for your love for each other. when that's outside looking in, when they see your love for each other, that's the next step to coming to know Jesus. That's the next step to become Jesus. I'm trying to read my own handwriting here. You know, something you're about to tell you. True generosity comes from our love of Jesus. And that's an amen there. True generosity, the truth of generosity, comes from our love of Jesus. That's the core. So, I originally thought, I said, wow, to sum it up, giving is part of knowing Jesus, who gave himself for you and I. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the gathering place. I thank you, Lord, that we are part, the small part of the family of God. And Father God, may we be generous in our faith, in our knowledge, in our speech, and everything that our whole being would reflect the God that's in us. And that we would truly love one another as you commanded us to, as would be how we would be identified as followers of Jesus, is how good we are at loving one another. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, God, that we're not commanded to give so we can get. We're commanded to give from our heart, from a people that are so loved by you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being our health, being our provider, being our sustainer, being our relationship strengthener. That, Father God, that we will grow in faith and truly be strong men and women of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Yeah.